In 5:1-17, we have three more uses of the verb walk. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, from 5:2 down through verse 5. And then, as we come into chapter 6, we are to walk, or verse 6, we are to walk as children of the light, 6 through verse 14. And notice in verse 8, as children of the light, walk, same verb, peripateo. And then again, in verse 15-17, we are to walk wisely, or circumspectly. So, as we go back then to 5:1-5, we're to walk in love. Notice Paul says, be therefore mimics of God, or imitators of God, as beloved children, and keep on walking in love. And the example that we're to follow is Christ, just as Christ loved us and gave himself over on our behalf. So we're to walk in a selfless love for others, just like Christ was willing to give himself on our behalf. And notice, it resulted in an offering and sacrifice to God, ending up with a sweet savor, or resulting in a sweet savor. So Christ gave himself as an offering and sacrifice to God the Father, resulting in a sweet smell or a sweet savor. He fulfills the sweet savory offerings of Leviticus 1-3 in his loving sacrifice that he gave on our behalf. And so as we walk in love, we sacrifice to others and give love to them, and this then will become likewise a sweet savory offering in the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we so conduct our lives. And what we're not to do is then described in verse 3, but fornication, which is all forms of immorality and impurity, impurity in action and thought, and all impurity and covetousness. That is, whereby we covet other what other people have, or have a covetous attitude toward material things. Let it not even be named among you, Paul says, as is fitting for saints. It's only proper, since we've been set apart through the sacrifice of Christ, that we're not to let these things even be named among us. And shameful and foolish speech and jesting that is not proper or fitting, we're to put away. But rather, in place of that, we're to have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that displays itself in our lives. Thanksgiving to the Lord for what he's done for us and the great salvation he has given us. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, and this know, that every fornicator or impure person or covetous covetousness, which is idolatry, a person that's covetous, a person that practices impurity in immoral relationships, or one that is committing adultery or fornication, sexual immorality outside of marriage, all of this is to be put away, because those who practice these things, and notice Notice that that covetousness is idolatry. Those who practice these things, Paul says, is not having an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So that we cannot go on practicing immorality, covetousness, and say at the same time that we have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, Paul is saying. So, having encouraged us to love and having warned us against a certain lifestyle that we should not have, Paul then goes on in verse 6 and following to talk about how we're to walk as children of the light. Notice he says, "Let no one deceive you with vain words, for on account of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." That is, the things that he had just described, such as fornication, impurity, covetousness. "Therefore, do not be partakers of them," or with them, "of them. Do not partake with those that are doing these things, for you were formerly of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light." Light often has the idea of truth. And you were formerly outside of truth. You lived your life in darkness. Now, having come to the truth in Christ, you're to live your life in the light, which is illustrative of that truth, and as children of the light, or of the truth in Christ, so, Paul says, keep on walking or conducting your life. For the fruit of the light, that is that which light produces, that which the light of truth produces in our life, is all goodness and righteousness and truth. We are to conduct our life doing that which is good, doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and that which is truth-bearing and truthful. And we are to examine, therefore, what is acceptable to the Lord, and we're not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we're to constantly examine in our lives what the Lord would see as acceptable, and we're not to have communion or fellowship or participation with the unfruitful works of darkness. That is, those works that are opposite the truth, that are done in the darkness, which is a symbol of that which is contrary to the calling for those that are now sons of light. But rather, our life is to reprove them. We're to turn the light on these things as being wrong, that Paul has just named above. For the things that are done in secret by them, and this is no doubt looking at immorality and things done in the darkness or in secret, are a shame even to speak of. That there are things that Paul said we won't even enter into. They are shameful even to address. But everything, all things that are being reproved or are being brought to light by the light and being laid bare, so to speak. The word here means to shine the light on or to reprove. And so all things that are being reproved by the light, as it were, are manifest. That is, you can see them. When the light is turned on, it shows things to be what they are, Paul is saying. And so everything that is being brought to light is brought out in the open, and everything that then is being seen or manifested is light. So the light exposes the darkness, manifests it for what it is and brings out the things that are true. Wherefore, he says, Paul now quotes in verse 14 from Isaiah chapter 26, 19, 57, 51, 17, 52, 1, and 61. He's quoting the thought from these variant passages when he says, "Arise, the one who sleeps, and stand up, or arise out of the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." In other words, Paul is saying that we're to arise and stand up out from the dead so that Christ can shine upon us. This is looking at leaving the life of darkness that believers, before they came to Christ, formerly lived in, are now no longer to do that. But the one who is still sleeping and doing that which is wrong, as it were, in spiritual slumber, is to arise out from among the dead in that regard, and Christ then will be able to shine upon him and bring a testimony to bear by seeing the light of Christ shining through that one. I believe this is the exhortation that Paul is bringing to them. Again, leave the old life out from among the dead, spiritually speaking, and allow Christ to beam his light upon you. And then he goes on in verse 15 to 17 and says, Therefore, see that with care how you walk. And there we have peripatete again, to walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. We're to walk wisely, not in a foolish way. And then he defines what that will look like, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're to walk buying up the time, knowing that days are evil, and we need to see time as a precious commodity and not waste time at all, but buy it up, use it for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For on account of this, he says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we're to be wise in understanding the Lord's will for our lives and not be foolish or unwise in ignoring that. And in the process, since time flies so fast and is so precious, make sure we redeem the time and buy up the time, because the days are evil, and we need to redeem the time by doing the work of the Lord in evil times that we have in this world, knowing that in so doing, we then are living our lives wisely. Many people have become elderly in life and have looked back and said, if I could just live my life again, time has flown so fast, but there's no opportunity to go back. And so we need to determine right now, wherever we are in life, that for the rest of our days, we're going to make them count for the Lord Jesus Christ.